We read the text, as His Holiness pointed out, so it says that, I'm doing kind of translation of the Tibetan version here, so it says that those practitioners, right at the outset, it is very important to generate a genuine sense of renunciation, without which, then the very root of nirvana or liberation is being severed. So then, in this relation, then the text further reads that all these painful sufferings and miseries, they are all derived through our ignorance, through our being trapped in the darkness of the ignorance of viewing things which are suffering nature as pleasurable, as happiness, and which are of impermanent nature as something permanent and eternal. And then it says, and so it further says, it quotes the 400 stanza by Arideva, that there is no end to the ocean-like suffering of samsara. So why are you, oh, who is like a child, not being frightened of this ocean-like suffering? So here, Lama Tsongkhapa then kind of comments by saying that this very stanza of the 400 stanza by Arideva is actually implying that, in actuality, as long as you are in samsara, there is nothing which isn't of the nature of suffering. So then Lama Tsongkhapa says that we have to be really careful, reflective as to how everything under the dominion of samsara, they are of suffering nature. And then it says that through understanding the suffering nature, the Buddha then taught as to what are the respective causes of this suffering. So here, he speaks about the truth of the causes of suffering. And then Lama Tsongkhapa says that, the truth of the suffering, you have to be able to point to the self-grasping as its ultimate cause. So His Holiness, his own commentary. So when we speak about the kind of the experiences that we undergo, the experiences of pleasure and pain and so forth. So for example, in this very life of ours, we see that we are being inflicted by any kind of painful experiences like sickness and encountering with all undesirous conditions and so forth. And pains and suffering of sickness, aging, death, not encountering with the conducive factors, suffering of encountering with unconducive factors, and so forth. So as I said earlier, all these sufferings, they are the result of their respective causes, concomitant causes. And it's not the case that as soon as you encounter the suffering, you can eliminate that very easily. It's not the case. Rather, you have to really explore and investigate as to what are the various causes of these sufferings. So normally people tend to have the inclination that because of proper health, because of proper environment and so forth, then we have the kind of the feeling that, oh, these may be the proper conditions to bring about happiness to us. So based on this idea, then we tend to educate the youngsters and so forth. So because so So by actually imparting such a kind of education for youngsters and other people in bringing about a better environment, bringing about a better health and so forth, so there actually what is the actual process, what exactly is happening here is that we have the kind of innate awareness that this happiness, the experiences of happiness and pleasure, they are the derivative, they are the result of their respective causes. So those causes, they are to be fulfilled through in relation to a proper motivation. So whether it be a kind of action of the body, speech or mind, whatever. So they are all to be conducted through being determined by the respective motivations. And whereas there are some very instinctual, there are some very automatic actions which don't really depend so much heavily on the motivations. But when we speak about the more important actions, say, for example, I really need to do this kind of action, or I must do that. So there, actually, it has to be motivated. That is very strongly determined by the motivation, the desire to do that, the enthusiasm to do that. So right now, so all these things, we can actually see these things in a very practical daily life, irrespective of forgetting, just leaving aside the concept of the rebirth and so forth, the next life and so forth. So here, we see that the very action that we are engaged in, which is heavily dependent on the respective motivations, so that would be much more like a kind of the action. And for example, if you are to really combat someone, encounter some kind of enemy, whatever, so there, you want to actually engage in kind of action to encounter that person. So in order to do that, you must have to have some prior kind of planning. So that is actually motivation. So based on that motivation or the planning, then you actually engage in this action of combating or encountering that with that person. So then that actual engagement in the activity is called the action, and that very the delusion or the sense, the emotion of attachment and the emotion of detachment or the emotion of hatred which motivates this action is the delusion. So this process of the causality, how all the mundane, even the mundane actions, they are determined and motivated by the respective motivations, and so forth. So here we see the causal relationship between the action as the result and the respective motivation as the cause. So this, irrespective of the teaching of the Bodhidharma or not, so we see that there is, even in the ordinary sense, even in the mundane sense, we can see the role of this causality, the process of this causality involved in all our daily activities. So these activities, they are like the karma or the action, and that very motivation, the desire, or the hatred and so forth, they are actually the motivation or the delusion. So keeping this in mind, this causality, which plays in all our daily, the arise of any kind of activities, so there then, this being the kind of the ground, we should then understand that what would be the respective causes for a pleasurable result and respective causes for undesirable consequence. So that very cause which is responsible for the sufferings or the painful experiences, they are classified as the unvirtuous states or the unvirtuous mental states, emotions, and whereas the very causes which are responsible for bringing about the pleasurable experiences and sensations are called as virtuous. So this is how we classify a virtue from unvirtue. So then here, if you read through the text itself, it says that You know, without eradicating the respective causes of the suffering, it is there is no way by which we can eradicate those undesirable experiences or the pains or sufferings. So then, because of this, then you will have to reflect on the respective causes. So that reflection on the causes is called the reflection on the truth of the causes of the suffering. It is because of this that the Buddha then taught the truth of the suffering first, followed by the truth of the cause of suffering. And then it says that all those the samsaric sufferings, they are actually caused by the contaminated actions and their respective delusions as the cause. So it is because of this that then we categorize the contaminated actions and their respective delusions as the truth of the cause of suffering. And then it further says that, and these causes, the contaminated actions and the respective delusions, there as well can be rooted to the self-grasping mind, which is the ultimate ultimate root cause of all sufferings. And then eventually when you understand that this self-grasping mind can be eradicated, then you see the possibility of eradication of the suffering altogether. So that eradication of the suffering is the third truth, that is the truth of the cessation of suffering and the respective causes. And then enthused by the desire to achieve this state of cessation, then you proceed to embrace the proper path which has the capacity to lead you to the state of cessation. So that path is called the truth of the path. So the Buddha then taught the truth of the path to reach the state of cessation only after teaching the state of cessation or the truth of cessation. So these four then comprise the Four Noble Truths, the truth of suffering, the truth of cause of suffering, and then the truth of the cessation of suffering and their respective causes, and the truth of the path which leads to the cessation, the truth of the cessation. So when you speak about the truth of the cessation, it has to be understood by understanding, by unraveling the reality that the eradication of the cause of suffering, because of the cessation or eradication of this, the cause of suffering, so naturally the resultant, the consequence of that cause, those causes can be eradicated or eliminated. So when you speak about the cessation, the truth of cessation, so it has the implication of some kind of effort, deliberate action, deliberate action to or enthusiasm to overcome the suffering by eradicating the respective causes, that is self-grasping mind. So this freedom from suffering, because of one's deliberate action of overcoming the respective causes of the suffering, is called the truth of cessation. So those two conditions, all the causes of suffering, the action, the contaminated action, and the respective delusions. So if you just leave it as, if you leave these two as they are, then the thing is that the delusions, they will keep on arising. So in what way you are to deliberately engage in some kind of action to overcome this delusion? So we see that if we see in a more mundane analogy, we see that in terms of the hotness and the coldness, so these two are actually opposing factors. So because of this reality, the opposing forces between the hotness and the coldness, so if you really want to enhance the, if you really want to eradicate the coldness, so we really promote or enhance the power of the hotness. So because of this, that the opposing force, that is the coldness, can naturally be subsided. So it is because of this natural process or the natural attribute intact in terms of the opposing forces, like the Hortons and Coldens. So this is something naturally existent there. It is then by employing this logic, by enhancing one side of the opposing forces, that the other side naturally gets subsided. So likewise, if you think about the sense of compassion or some sense of love and a sense of hatred, so the hatred is something that you try to put someone else farther away from you, and whereas the sense of love actually embraces all others closer to you.